That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
it's
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will
even up the score. Don't be weak.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We are coming to you live this morning, October 14th, 2023, and we welcome you folks out there. And we've got Paul on the line. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And we've got Tim on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Well, man, thanks for being here. Tim, you want to start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Be delighted. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this day, and we just thank you for it, Lord. We know that times, they are changing, and we know that our Lord understands all the changes and all the things that are going on. It's by your plan, Lord, and by your power that they occur, that the things that are going on. Lord, we don't always understand it, and we don't always know why, but we have faith in our Lord, or we should have, Lord, that it's all going according to your plan, according to your purpose, and that you bring these things about. We pray, Lord, that you would remember your people in the midst of these sometimes adverse conditions, Lord, that you would prosper your people and that you would strengthen their hands and their minds and their souls, Lord, that you would help us to continue to look up. And, Father, we just say protect us. Guide us, direct us, watch over our families, watch over our people. Lord, we know that whatever's in store is better than anything we could have imagined. We just thank you for it. We pray that you would heal the sick that are among us, Lord, that you would lift them up. We claim Christ's stripes over them. Lord, we pray for your blessings, your power, and your might on your people this day. We pray for this ministry and this broadcast, Lord, that it would reach the needy of spirit, that it would be a voice in the wilderness that might resonate throughout the land and give people hope. Lord, just bring them to your throne and bring them to a better understanding of Christ. I pray for those of us that put time and effort into those things that, Lord, we would We know you're the divine scorekeeper. Watch over us, keep us, and protect us, we pray and ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I was, you know, there's a lot of things going on over there in the world, it seems like, and just sometimes you just don't know what to think of it all. Paul, we'll turn it over to you. What do you think, and what do you make of this whole mess over there in Israel and Gaza and Hamas and everything like that?
I hardly hear you, Richard.
Okay, let's see here. Can you hear me now?
Barely.
Barely.
A little more, yeah.
Okay. How's that sound? Does that sound any better? I'm trying to figure out how to... I'm using in somebody else's system, and I'm trying to figure out how to get it to come on over to you guys. Go ahead. Take it away, Tim.
Well, we, you know, I'm sure that the enemies of our, that we're faced with all the time, they've got a multi-pronged assault. That always seems to be their stock in trade. And I don't really claim to understand all the comings and goings over there, what's going on. I mean, I think that I heard somebody said something the other day that I thought was very astute, and that was the fact that that's certainly God's land, but it's not God's people. I think that that summarizes a whole bunch of things that are going on over there. And, you know, it's definitely, I've heard everything from the fact that, oh, you know, it's a power play against this Chinese gold standard for buying oil, and they're trying to suspend that. And maybe there's some truth to that. I don't know. Maybe there's, but I know that it's very interesting that all that stuff goes on and creates all this upheaval over here. I mean, I've said it for a long time, and I wonder why sometimes we don't just take our football and go home, you know, and let them sort it out. But God knows. I mean, I just think that a lot of times we waste a lot of time and a lot of treasure on things that are immaterial. And I'm sure there's more to it than that. I'm sure I'm missing, you know, some different things as regards it. But it's just like, okay, you guys are just continuing to stir the pot, and there's so many things going on that need attention, and so many things that don't. So is that kind of a get us maybe a thought on that, or the way it goes? I mean, they love obscurity. They like to obscure a matter, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Can you hear me any better now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, Paul, what do you think of everything that's going on over there?
I don't really know, but this is really big what's going on. Everybody in the world seems to know who the Jews are, except for us. They know the trouble they cause everywhere they go and stuff like that, and I think that maybe triggered the whoever they are to attack them, but then they're retaliating. And yeah, I don't know. I see a headline the other day where Putin was thinking that the third party going to jump into this thing, and which is really could happen. But this is a, I think it's really the start of a really big thing. Not sure what it is. But you know, until you know who the players are, you'll never understand it. And I think a lot of people know who the players are, except for Americans.
Yeah. Well, and I have to wonder, you know, they constantly are looking for a way to keep the military digging. I mean, they just got to have, we have this war, endless war thing, and I'm pretty convinced, given the amount of people that we've had coming into this country, it kind of comes back to me in a lot of ways. At least this is one way I can kind of put it together, is we've had all these foreign invaders coming across the border for several years now, and mostly military-aged men. And we talked about this years ago now about this asymmetric warfare thing. You send all the military off on some foreign junket situation and then activate things here at home that create a military situation here. You know, there's, I mean, that's one thought, and that's the only thought. I don't have any proof of that. It's just a kind of an occurs to me kind of thing.
Well, you know, one thing that I found interesting is I've heard the scripture Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 brought up so many more times than I have in the past. I mean, that used to be one of those scriptures that was like, it was one that really people didn't want to talk about. They didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to read it. They didn't want to quote it. And I've had emails that had Revelation 2:9-3:9 on it. I've had people that have called and talked about it. I've heard it talked about in the secular world. Revelation 2 verses 9 says, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. And again, as a double witness, we turn over to Revelation 3 verse 9. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie, I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. And boy, you know, some powerful scriptures there. Says a whole lot, and that's exactly what we're dealing with, those that call themselves Jews but are the synagogue of Satan. And I was talking with a man earlier this week, and he was telling me how this whole thing, this war, rumors of war, this whole thing over in Israel, had somebody come in to his office and was talking with him, chatting, and a person was a Christian, and he was able to share the Israel truth with him. And he said one thing led to another, and how he was able to, you know, share who true Israel was. And he said that, you know, it made so much sense to the gentleman, because nothing that he's been being told made sense at all. And that's one thing that, you know, from church, I've been really pushing our introductory packet. It's got the greatest discovery of our age in it. It's got the Abrahamic covenant in it. A lot of good tools, and explaining who the people are and where the land is, and you know how we and Pastor Peters, his greatest discovery of our age was basically when he went through and understood the Abrahamic covenant, and you know it's taught in a lot of different places, but the problem is they've got the people wrong and they've got the land wrong, and when he discovered. Excuse me, that, you know, this is the land and we are the people. It was, you know, it was the greatest discovery that he ever made. And it changed the course of his life and his ministry and his preaching career and everything. And he continued to stand on that those truths until the day he died. And we continue to proclaim those truths and continue to try to get that information out. There's a lot of really good information in that book, and it's been an eye-opener for a lot of people. And it just it unlocks so many things when you realize that we are the people, that we are that chosen seed of Israel's race. It's it changes everything.
Yeah, it anchors you. You know, up till then it's like reading someone else's mail, but when you get over that letter's for you, that's a whole different world. That's what happened to me anyway, you know. So, yeah. You know, you got to start in the book of Genesis to figure this whole thing out, the two creations and the Abrahamic covenant. And the Abrahamic covenant was, what is that called, Jason, where God made the covenant, and we don't have to... really participate in it that much because he made a promise, and Abraham didn't even have to participate. But that's a powerful thing, you know. And we are that people, you know. People say, "Well, America's going to go away; it ain't going no place." somebody's going somewhere, but America is going to be here because that's his apple of his eye. And yeah, we're going to get chastised because we need it, but we're going nowhere. We are that land. He said we're not going to ever have to move again. So yeah, we're here. We're going to be cleaned up. But I was talking to a guy this week too, and he was telling me, why are you calling the Bible where all these hordes of people are invading over in Israel? I said, no, you got it wrong. That's going to be here. You know, and he grasped it right away. You know, and then he turned it, you know, these are the hordes that are coming in across the border. And he said, yeah, he made the transition so quickly it was hard to believe. He was trying to tell me it was there, and I said, no, it's here.
Yeah, it makes it.
Oh, we know that God spoke in parables, you know, I mean, all the time. So it's not unreasonable to assume. He said, I speak that way because I don't want the enemy to understand, you know, and I think a lot of times that there could be part of that, veiling or part of that understanding was there with two different names. He changed the name of his land, of his people, to protect them, but that other land is still there, and they're out there trying to say that they're that way, but it's so unreasonable to assume that was just another one of those ways to protect his people for a period of time or for, you know, from those things. I mean, no, I don't think so at all. But I certainly think that there's a lot of queuing going on as far as queuing things up to make changes. And I definitely don't have all the right answers, but I have a lot of questions. I have questions over there like, how did they launch rockets when they supposedly had the Iron Dome that's totally, you know, untouchable? How did they... they're supposed to have one of the greatest intelligence gathering groups in the entire world, you know. I mean, everybody holds their breath whenever they're mentioned or anything like that. You know, suddenly they're so bare they're unable to protect anybody, but they need us to go in and do that. So, you know, there's just a lot of questions that are like, that's, yeah. So what else do you guys really want? What else is really going on?
Well, I don't follow real close, but I look on YouTube for my news and stuff like that. But there's a huge amount of conflict even in Washington, D.C., whether we should support Israel or not. I mean, some people say yes, some people say no. So, you know, we're in a state of confusion, to say the least.
Absolutely. And once again, here we are this morning. We got a Ring of Fire solar flare, or you know, eclipse going on starting this morning. I mean, so that's interesting in the midst of all this as well. And there's a few interesting things about that. So it's just one of those when you look around and see the things that are going on. I think there's just so many things going on, and it's like, well, you better be. You know, you better be praying, you better be getting your armor on, and you better be keeping your head up. So,
yeah, Tim, what is going on with that solar flare? I guess that they're down in Arizona. There's supposed to be a that's where a lot of people are traveling to go see it.
Yeah, it starts in, I think they said it's going to start in Oregon to Texas. I got that wrong. I'm sorry. It's starting here, and it's going to end up in Brazil. Sorry, I was reading the wrong line on my list. I apologize. But it basically is traveling from up there in the Oregon area, and it's going to go clear down through Brazil during this 24-hour period. I mean, it's basically supposed to look like a black hole in the middle of the sun. The moon is passing in front of it. That's why they call it a ring of fire. You're not supposed to look at it, obviously, without some kind of glasses. But there's a lot of interesting stuff. I mean, 11 years ago, we had another, you know, another one. There's the zones that it's going through. I haven't got to put everything together on it as much as I would like, but it is a very interesting and unique flare. So, you know, it's we're just, and it's strange that it's happening during all this time and with everything else that's going on across this country right now. So,
isn't there a beta test coming in April that's like Texas, United States, that next one?
Yes. Yeah, April 8th, 2024, I think it is, Paul. So, yeah. And that's going to be a total solar eclipse. So, yeah. And here we are again. But isn't it strange how many of those are going on suddenly? I mean, it's kind of we got another one of those. So.
That weekend, if we look then.
Yes, that's exactly. Thank you. That's exactly right. He's talking to us not only through nature, not only through economic means, not only through. I mean, the whole list just goes on and on and on. And to think that, you know, the magic button of just putting somebody in power or doing something is going to make it all go away. It's like. It's broke, and the father's got to fix it, you know. So, that's where we're at.
Yeah, it's so broke that it's not fixable by the way we think.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, Father, we broke it so bad we don't know what to do with it. So, and it's not funny. I mean, you laugh to keep from. But he also told us that that was what was going to happen. I mean, it's proceeding according to his plan. So, and I laugh about a lot of these things that are going on because everybody's like, well, when we get this, we're going to have peace. We're going to have safety and we're going to have, and he said, you know, when they cry peace and safety, that's when it's all going to happen. So, we're just, it's a really strange thing, but God's gonna do it. You know, He's gonna fix it. And He's gonna take care of it. As we sure can.
Well, I think there's a lot of deception coming. You better know what you believe, because it's gonna, you know, when Christ says that, you know, somebody will step into power that can do miracles and stuff, and it's gonna deceive a lot of people. I see it blowing up that, and I think there's such chaos. It's perfect for someone to step in power because of, you know, the way Biden and the whole government is going. If somebody's got to take power, and it's a perfect time for that to happen. If they're desperate.
There is a lot of desperation in the country right now. People are managing to, and I suspect, and I don't really know, but I suspect that Americans handle that differently or maybe better, I don't know, but some places, just because of the nature of who we are and what we've been through, genetically speaking and everything else, and the founding of this country, but it's beginning to come to a head here, even, you know, so...
Well, the Bible says a stranger rule over me if you watch any amount of TV, which I don't very much, but it's all turning, you know, black or just take it over. I believe they come up with all these actors so fast, you know, but it's been in the planning, so. But, yeah, the stranger rules over us, and that we are in them shoes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's there's so many different things. What's going on with the migration and the new wall and all that sort of thing? Tim, have you seen anything new on that?
You mean as far as the illegal aliens and that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
As far as I know, they're just letting them walk across the border at this particular point. I haven't heard anything different. I mean, and it's actually accelerating. I mean, although there was, I did see a blurb the other day that there was a bunch of Venezuelans that were headed this way, and Mexico was trying to turn them back, but they were asking for help because they weren't having very good luck. But that kind of sounds like, you know, one drop in a bucket. I mean, but they continue to come. And the other thing that's interesting, and I heard somebody say it, and it may have already been mentioned, but, you know, when you're fleeing war, you take your family with you or a situation there that's bad. I mean, if you're trying to get away from that, you're in a refugee-type status, you and your family go. You take your wives, you take your children, and when you look at the numbers of what's coming into this country from the southern border primarily, but when you look at that, it's mostly military-aged men between like 17 and 30. I mean, the majority of what's coming in there is that. So, and I've noticed this big push to try to show that, well, they've got these children, you know, and everything, but they're just a drop in the bucket compared to what's coming across on everything else. And honestly, we don't know how many of those people are Central Americans, how many of those people are Middle Easterners, how many of those people are any number of things from other countries that have a lot of hate or a lot of, you know, destruction on their mind that are coming into this country. And they're, you know, that's one of those times when the firearm situation is maybe could work a little bit on the downside is they don't have to send them over here armed. They might be able to steal, find, kill, or destroy and get enough of that situation if they're activated to do it. I mean, they're talking right now about Hamas sleeper cells all over the United States, you know, which is probably no news to those of us who've been crying on the walls about it for the last 20 years, you know, that stuff is set up. And, you know, do we have hard proof? No. Do we have common sense appreciation for the fact that that's probably what could be done? Yeah, we do. We don't have any necessary documentation, and if there is any, it seems to go away fairly quickly. But you know, we've talked about different things and different groups and different training platforms and sites. So yeah, I think there's a real possibility for that.
Yeah, and it was interesting. This week, I think it was yesterday, I was in the courthouse in up in Laramie, and they had a thing on the wall, and it says 2 weeks ready, and it big thing on the wall, build your kit. And boy, they sounded like one of us, like a survivalist or an extremist or somebody that was preparing for the future. It was pretty interesting. I snapped a picture of it, and it says 2 weeks ready, build your kit, plan to be on your own for at least 2 weeks. And it talks about how you need to have a water, 1 gallon per person per day. You need to have a can opener. You need to have a radio that runs on batteries or solar. That gets the weather channel and has the alerts into it. You need to have a flashlight. You need to have personal hygiene items, toothbrush, soap, washcloths, tools, pet supplies. You need to have cash because credit cards might not be working. You need to have toilet paper. You need to have backup of your medications. You need to have a fire extinguisher. You need to have warm clothes. You need to have extra batteries. You need to have sturdy shoes. You need to have a first aid kit. You need to have a pair of glasses, an eye care. You need to have medical equipment. You need to have comfort and entertainment. You need to have food that is non-perishable. And you need to have it in a pack in something that's easy to transport. And I just thought that was interesting because, you know, we've gone through, we talk about things like that and people call us extremists and survivalists and, you know, they like to put their names on it. Here it's just becoming common. And, you know, we've been telling people that for years and, you know, decades, basically, you know, when people need to be prepared for, you know, the unexpected, you know, when the power goes out, when the grid goes down, when the food doesn't show up at the grocery store every day. And, you know, you never know what's going to cause that. We've had snowstorms out here in Colorado and Wyoming that have shut the grocery stores down and shuts the interstates down. And those grocery stores, the way that they're set up nowadays, they don't even have a lot of them. I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them don't even have a storehouse or a back of the store where they keep extra supplies. They just rely on those trucks coming in every day, and they unload stuff directly from the truck, and it goes directly on the shelf. And I know that all the new grocery stores up and down the northern Colorado Front Range, that's the way that they've designed them. And they've got the warehouses out of Denver that as soon as something's scanned at the register, it automatically goes on a restocking inventory sheet, and they start pulling it. And every time, and they have those trucks that leave Denver on the hour, every hour, bringing up what they've sold to the stores, and they restock it, and it goes right back on the shelf. Well, we've had it where, you know, snowstorms where we've gotten several feet of snow, and all of a sudden the trucks aren't running, and the interstates are shut down, and boom, everything's sold out of the grocery store within a matter of hours. And we've had it where you know, stores have been shut down, and I mean, you can't, literally, you can't, I mean, there's not a can of soup on the shelf. And we've had it with snowstorms, with power outages, with fires, with a lot of different things. And, you know, we've had, not where we're at, but a lot of other parts of the country have had, you know, earthquakes or other natural disasters that have caused the same type of situation. And, you know, it's things that, you know, people need to be ready for, and they need to be aware of.
Wow.
Yeah. Well said. They thought we were coots, huh?
Well, and I think it occurs to me when I read a lot of that kind of stuff, and I've seen some of that stuff too, and one of the thoughts I was just, actually, it's kind of interesting you mentioned that, but it occurred to me the other day that during the course of that, they want everybody to have this ready-to-run pack, you know, like, and by the way, that stuff that they're talking about, if you have a very large family, it sounds like a U-Haul truck, you know, it's like, yeah, this and this and that, it's like, yeah, that's kind of my house.
Yeah, I know, I was thinking about that, a gallon of water per day per person, you know, when you got seven people in your family, that's and they want you to have it for 2 weeks. That's 14 gallons of water per person. That's a lot of water.
Yeah, water's what, 8 pounds plus per gallon. I mean, yeah, you're gonna haul that around. I mean, it's like, man. But I think that you don't hear that. There used to be a lot of things that say these colors don't run, and it was kind of a name for the United States. Like, we're here, we're home, and Pastor talked about that years ago. There is no place left to go. You know, I mean, America was the last bastion of freedom left. You know, I see these guys talking about running off to Panama or running off to some other country, and it's like, guys, there's no place left to go. That's the bother. We got to fix this. But the point being that I think shelter in place, and it's like, no, there's a certain amount where you can't push anymore, and the pushback's coming, and I think that's where we're at. I don't think that having these things is a bad idea, but I think that just like that, it's not going to be very mobile. Yeah, if it's just you and your dog, you know, like maybe you can throw a backpack in. Of course, I don't know where you're going to get fuel at for your vehicle to run, I guess, and you can walk, but how is that better than staying put? I mean, there's just a whole bunch of things there that leave me. And I realize also that there's not a one-size-fits-all answer for those kind of things. But I think that we're to a point there where it's going to, you know, the nomadic part of it is kind of over as far as Israel goes. It's like the New Jerusalem, the new USA. You know, we're in a situation there where it's like, So, and they don't like the word no. They want everybody, You know, it's like, be busy getting ready to go. You don't have to think about, well, how am I going to haul all this stuff? You know, or it's kind of like the one where they talk about making sure your cell phone's charged up in a major crisis, you know, or something. It's like, we watched the fires out there, like Risk Canyon and some of those several years ago. It burned the cell towers down, you know. I mean, there was no cell service. I mean, we've seen that in several places. Your phone is basically a camera when you get done with it, you know. There's a whole bunch of that stuff. They just want to make sure that to keep people's minds busy, to keep them doing some of that kind of stuff. And, I mean, everything you said, and I know that goes for those of us who are here and probably a large percentage of people who are listening, that's my daily life. We've already got water on the shelf. We've already got toilet paper. We've already got, you know, I mean, those things are all, when an ice storm comes along and knocks the power out for 2.5 weeks here, we're still here at the end of the 2.5 weeks. And guess what? The refrigerators ran, and we managed to, with God's help, we managed to keep everything together. It wasn't as nice as it was maybe when all that was working, but hey, we survived it, you know, and it was a good practice thing. We found some weak points that we needed to shore up. So I think there's some of that goes on.
God said, fear not. That's what we got to get through, because they're always selling fear. This has been going on for years, and they're selling fear, but God said there would be enough for those that believe. Now, he can feed us just like the widow. That little jar of oil and that flour never went dry, and all that kind of stuff can happen. You know, he fed us people in the desert and manna. He can feed us. He will. And I think we have to stand on that way more than preparedness, and there's nothing wrong being prepared. I mean, get me wrong, but even if you do, how long can it go? I mean, you're going to run out of something. So I kind of like the idea of God, the man on that jar of oil that never emptied. You know, he could do that kind of stuff, and we have to stand on that more than we have to run fear. And he said, fear not. So, and I am preaching to myself here, because I went through that time. I had a food drive 40 years ago. That's sober. I don't think any of it do me any good. Just a fan.
Well, he told us to go into our room while that rat passed over. You know, and I think that's not the same. I think there have been times in our history when fleeing was the right answer. You know, pretty flee not in the winter. I mean, or on Sabbath. But I think that there's. I think that we're in a little different scenario here, personally.
I don't feel that. There's nothing new under the sun. It's all mental. It's all faith. This is what's going to take us through it, you know. And he will. He loves faith and he hates pride. So I don't think I got enough, though, brain to get everything together that would need for a year. Or the ability.
I hear you, brother. Well, and I think that that's one of those things. I mean, my son said the other day, and I think he, you know, I was just like, yep, that's just really awesome. But he said, well, if God can feed a multitude with a basket of fishes and bread, don't you think he can take care of you? You know? So, I mean, it was like, yep. We gathered up more than. They gathered up more from the leftovers than there was originally. That's the God we serve.
That's what we have to stand on.
Yeah, Zechariah 2, starting in verse, I'll start with verse 2, and it says, so I said, there are you going. Where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see how wide it is and how long it is. And behold, the angel who was speaking with me was going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him, and said to him, run, speak to that young man, saying, Jerusalem will be inhabited without walls because of the multitude of men and the cattle within it. For I declare the Lord will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. And you know, that's a scripture there that a lot of these people are talking about, the, you know, this this land over in Israel. And, you know, one of the things that Pastor Peters put in his book is, you know, he says that that's not the land. It doesn't have that many people that they can't be numbered. And it doesn't have, it does have the walls, and it doesn't have the number of cattle. And, you know, talking about the apple of his eye, it was, you know, a nation born in a day. That's one thing that I really do, I really like, and it's got a really good explanation of, you know, the nation that was born in a day and how it was prophesied in Zechariah and how it did come forth. And that was basically the signing of the Declaration of the Independence. That was a nation being born in a day. It goes into some really good information, really good history. It's kind of, part of that book is just like a history lesson. And fantastic information.
Well, what I was trying to tell us was in 1948 when that sandbox over there was set up, you know, but that's set up by an imposter. You know, yeah, that book is just fantastic with all the history. And, you know, when you know the history of Israel from Abraham on and all the things that God did for him, and, you know, and you know, people see it and they forget about it. You know, I seen that lightning bolt up in Wisconsin. I seen it with my own very eyes. But, you know, pretty soon you almost forget about it. And it's, you know, that's us. We're going to be real short sighted. So, yeah. No, we got to stand on that word because he said it. Well, I'll take him out of the word any day.
Amen. And I wish I could get this this machine to run better. I just cannot hear hardly anything. I'm up here in Richard's out of town for a wedding, and so I'm up here at the ranch and trying to run this radio board. And boy, this thing is just it's a mess. It definitely needs some work. So, but I apologize. I just can't hardly hear anything that's going on. So. But we've got about 15 minutes left, and the phone numbers, I don't know if I can get this thing to answer the phones or not, but the phone number to call in is 307-745-5913. That's 307-745-5913. If you got anything that you'd like to share with us today, would like to hear from you.
We can hear you real good.
Okay, well, that's good. I can barely hear you guys, and I keep trying to turn it up, but then I get some awful feedback, and I'm worried about it going over the airway, so I'm not sure what's going on. But I know that looking at some of these cables, some stuff is just not hooked up the way it should be. So we'll have to get that remedied. But talk about some beautiful weather. We went from 70 degrees down to about 19 degrees in a matter of overnight. Came up here to Wyoming, ended up with a couple inches of snow, got snowed in, couldn't shut the roads down, so it had my 12-year-old son with me, and we just decided that, sometimes you just got to adapt we'll just make the best of it. So it's been chilly. Going from 70 degrees to 19 degrees is is quite a bit different. But we're thankful for the moisture. I know we have been very blessed this year with having an abundance of moisture, but for a lot of the country, people that I talk to from across Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, I mean, all the way to Florida, it just, people talking about how bad the drought is and how dry everything is. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller. Yeah, are you there? Okay, well, I apologize. I cannot hear the callers, so I'm not sure what's going on here. But,
You can't hear me either.
Yeah, okay. Well, we won't.
won't be taking calls today then, I guess. This thing, there's supposed to be a red line and a blue line and be able to turn those callers up and down, and that is not working. So anyway, just, you know, talking to people about how dry things have been across this country, and you know, going east of us, how you know, no hay crops, and trucking hay into places that usually just have an abundance. Places that usually get three cuttings of hay, they were lucky if they got one cutting of hay. Just very interesting times. And I don't know, Tim, what are you seeing in your neck of the woods for as far as crops and stuff like that go? I know that there was quite a few hailstorms this year, from what I understand as well.
We've had an abundance of rain, at least in our local area, and it's localized, but we have also had an abundance of hail, which is, you know, we usually get a dab here and there every year. I mean, it's not unusual to have something hit, but we've had locally, at least here, we've had some baseball-size, tennis-ball-size hailstorms that lasted 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, you know. And unfortunately, I know one of the guys was picking soybeans, and he had a video he was showing us the day before one of the hailstorms hit. He was pulling, you know, 70, 80 bushels an acre off of his field. The day after the hailstorm, he was getting 4 bushels to the acre. So, I mean,
well, that don't even hardly pay for fuel.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, I'm sure that was probably just he needed to pick some to show the insurance company what was going on. But nevertheless, you know, we've seen a lot of that. One of the local towns here pretty much lost every roof in town, I mean, due to a hailstorm. We've had, and it was really localized, hail-wise, but it hurt the milo crops, it hurt the hay crops, it hurt the a bunch of the, I mean, corn harvest is over in some areas because the corn was literally beat off of the, you know, it's gone. I mean, and it was strange. You could be on one side of the road, and the corn was, you know, 6 inches tall. The other side of the road, it looked just fine. So you could see those kind of things going on all over the place. But so it's been strange. I mean, as far as we've had a lot of rain, and the guys did manage to get up some pretty nice hay, which is a blessing because that's going to keep the, you know, cattle something to eat here locally. But of course, everyone's guarded over that because of the area, because other areas don't have any. So it's that's kind of what we're seeing. I mean, it's a little bit more extreme than normal. I mean, when we have, you know, there's always areas that are damaged or have had a harder time of it, but and we've been 5-6 years with no rain. I mean, they practically think you were living in the desert. So we pretty much got the last 5 or 6 years worth of rain here locally all in the last year, this year, you know. But it's not exactly been as good as you would think, just because of, well, you know, other extreme circumstances like the hail. We've had some tornadoes, just things like that. But and people are, the other thing that always amazes me is how buoyant people are out here. They're just like, there's some tight-lippedness, but it's amazing. They're like, well, you know, it's gonna work out, or, you know, we'll figure something else. They're gonna make lemonade, you know, out of the lemons. I mean, it's that's where we're at. But
you mentioned something earlier in your conversation about insurance. I don't think you can realize how destructive insurance is to an economy, because see, these people have that, well, we get through financially, but we got on to feed the cows and stuff like that. You know, you got all these orchards here, they got all crop insurance and stuff like that. And that, for God, you know, 150 years ago, they couldn't sell insurance. Now you can't get anybody to go without it. But if the wrath of God, and we need insurance, not insurance.
I wholeheartedly agree with Paul. I think you can lay a large percentage of what's wrong with this country on a national level at the feet of the insurance companies.
you know, they're evil and greedy and take advantage of people, and they create laws and put burdens on people that they wouldn't otherwise have. So,
well, on health insurance and stuff like that, what they pay out is about 30%, which means about 70% profit. And that's all playing on people's fears. Yeah, I remember, you know, years ago they used to have prayer meetings for rain. Now they got Zomatic and all of the valley, all these great big circles out there trying to go, you know, run right to a Sabbath. You know, God is withdrawn. He's ticked off. I don't know. He's really ticked off. And he's shown us power. And he sets them to heaven and laughs. Why does the evil man imagine the main thing? He sets them to heaven and laughs, but this is what he's doing. He's getting our attention. And we have to quit looking to insurance to save our butt instead of, you know, the gentle, timely rains and stuff like that he will send, you know, and make us very prosperous. That was in this country not too long ago. I seen the tail end of it. Because I remember one time when I was a deacon in a local steeplehouse, you know, they were going to do a project, and I was supposed to go raise money, and I went to this old guy. He was pretty old. And I went to him, I said, well, you can just tell it. He said, no, a promise is debt. Here's the money. He would not give it, you know, he gave the money right up front, but he knew the word of God, and he knew that, and he lived it, and they were going to take these pipes in the front of the church down, and they wanted to do it with an oak and stuff like that. And he just about cried. He says, you don't know what we sacrificed to put them there. And so I went back in the room, and I said, them pipes are staying there until Sam's dead, and after that, you can do whatever you want. But he knew they sacrificed, you know, and it meant so much to him, and they knew about money and paying their bills and the debt and all that stuff. And it's totally gone now. Now we got credit cards. We just skim through our both times. So,
yep. I don't know. Wow. It's just another way they take a spoil. So, and as soon as it gets a little tough on them, like, they pull up stakes and go home. They've just done that. They just did that. California and Florida, you know, it's like, now we've spent all we want to spend here renewing this by, so.
Well, gentlemen, we are just about out of time. Thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for standing in. Get that board for you, will you?
And thank you, folks, for joining us here at Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here at the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network.
You are the last party in the call.
My friend, I stand in judgment now, and I feel that you're to blame somehow. On earth, I walked with you and talked day by day, and you never did point me the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but never did you tell me that old story. My knowledge then was very dim, and you could have led me safely to Him. And though we lived together on earth, you never told me about the second birth. And now I stand this day condemned because you failed to mention it. You taught me many things that were true. I called you friend. I trusted you. But I learned now that it's all too late. And you could have kept me from hell and this dreadful fate. We walked day by day and night by night. We talked, and yet you showed me not the light. You let me live and love and die, and you knew I would never live on high. I called you my friend, I trusted you through joy and strife. And now I come to this horrible end. And how could I now call you a friend?
You never mentioned him to me. You held me not alive.